That's the great thing about PPC is it's hard for people to get into. So if you can get into it, you're going to have an edge on the market.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Fast Track. I'm your host, Greg Helbeck. And on this podcast, you are going to learn exactly how to be a successful real estate investor step by step by me interviewing some of the top real estate investors and entrepreneurs in the entire country. And there's also going to be a bunch of episodes where I'm just going to individually talk about real estate deals that I've done that have been successful, some deals that haven't been successful. I'm going to talk about my weekly real estate investing lessons, stuff that I've learned from the trenches that you can learn for free on this podcast. So if you're looking to level up your game as a real estate investor or become a real estate investor, this is the podcast to listen to. So if you do get value from the show today, please do me a favor and leave us a review on whatever podcast platform you are listening on so we can get this message in front of more people. And without further ado, welcome to the show. All right. So today you're going to learn how do you really get good at pay-per-click marketing from a true master. I have Doug out of Dallas, Texas here on the show today. And Doug, this podcast today is going to be a straight combat training on pay-per-click. There's a lot of myths out there. There's a lot of people who don't understand this channel. And I know you have really, over the last 8 years, been able to master this. So before we get into that actual content on pay-per-click, how in the world did you get into real estate investing? Because you don't seem too old.
First of all, I appreciate you having me on here. The funny thing is I don't get to talk to a lot of people about PPC too much other than like my clients and the people I'm like in the business with. So this conversation we're going to have right now is going to be really good. I'm excited for it. So I got started in wholesaling full time actually about 8 years ago. And my first deal I got 10 years ago. And believe it or not, it actually wasn't from PPC. My first deal was from a direct mail letter that I sent out. And how I got started was handwriting letters every night. And I just did it till my hand hurt pretty much. And so I would just send out some niche lists and something hit and I got a $4,000 check from it. And that changed the game for me. So ever since that, I wasn't into handwriting letters and like beating down people's doors to sell me their house. It just hasn't ever been my go-to. That's when I started educating myself around PPC. And honestly, Sean Terry was the big guy I was following at the time. He was doing a lot of PPC, I think was his like core at that time and still is. And so that kind of got me interested in it. I started digging into it and basically just started teaching myself. And I started really small. Fortunately, when I was learning, the cost per lead is significantly different than what it is today. And so it was more manageable for someone to work their way into the PPC space, slowly start to compete with some of the bigger guys that were already in the space. And so it took time and I slowly scaled things up and slowly started doing more consistent deals. And 8 years later, here we are still doing PPC for my business. I've done it every step of the way. Every year, it's been probably a good 90% of my marketing budget. And I just lay the foundation, expand it from that or pull it back in with certain things are going on. And that's the great thing about like inbound lead marketing is you can control it to create the business around the lifestyle that you want. That was always an interest for me is the inbound marketing, handling leads, having people come to you and ask, hey, what can you offer me on the house? I'm in a tough situation. That's how I got into PPC and how it really kicked off my business.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad you did that 8 years ago because now you have all this wisdom to share. I know a little bit about PPC. However, the only thing I really don't understand with PPC is the actual technical setup. Tracking UTMs, all that stuff is like a little bit beyond my pay grade. However, I know the tough questions to ask for PPC. So here's my first question for you. I'm going to hit you with a bomb right off the bat. You're in Dallas, competitive market, a lot of investors bidding on the same keywords. How does an investor who doesn't have $50,000 a month ad budget survive in a Dallas type market and still get leads at a reasonable price because the cost per click is very high in Dallas, San Diego, Seattle, and New York? So how does someone even go about that? Because there's obviously a way to do that. You've proven this for 8 years.
So that's what I've done. I've maneuvered through the space. Basically, you have to understand the market very well. If you're getting in a local market, you want to know your competitors. You want to know who they are. At the end of the day, the great thing about PPC, and this is what a lot of people don't understand about PPC, what's different from direct mail and what leaves the door open for smaller guys to compete against bigger guys is the opportunity of there's a certain amount of auctions in every market, meaning say a term like sell my house fast in Dallas, Fort Worth, it's only going to show a certain amount of times, right? There's only a max amount of auctions that are going to be available for these people to advertise to. So when you think about your competition, when someone searches that term and something pops up, you're going to see about three at the top that's sponsored ad. Those would be from PPC. The way that Google's algorithm kind of implements everything is that it's not always the guy spending the most money that's going to be at the top. So if you can approach things and structure it efficiently to where you're spending the money in the right places, you can often be popped up there just with the guys that are spending $50,000 a month. And here's another thing to understand is that during the day, sometimes your budget can get overspent. So when you are scaling and you're spending 20, 30, 40 grand a month, even spending that much a month, if they're spending like $1,000 a day, so that'd be $30,000 a month, they could easily blow that in the first half of the day, which leaves opportunity for the small guys to come in the second half of the day and have the opening. So a tip that I also give out there to people is you can literally set your structure up to something called ad scheduling. And I don't do this because I've been doing it long enough to where I can just compete with some of the more expensive costs. But if you're really trying to make your campaign run efficiently, you can schedule your ads to only run the second half of the day, meaning that hopefully a lot of your competition's budget's already expired, spent. So they only have this much left to spend the rest of the day. That gives you opportunity to jump in there and capitalize on some of that.
That makes a lot of sense.
So that's one caveat that like a lot of people don't really think about when it comes to that. Another thing is when there's three people at the top of the list, some people just go for one and they might just fill out one form. But oftentimes a lot of people are going to fill out up to three or four forms. They want multiple offers coming in. So when that happens, you have to understand another thing is, okay, so let's say the top guys are at the 1-2, it leaves space for a 3 and 4. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So understanding that part of it too, is they're not just going to take up the entire space every single time. If they are, they're probably overspending by a lot. There's just ways to approach it. And obviously you have to be smart about it and you have to know what you're doing to set that up to work your way into that little slot. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That makes sense. Because if you think about it, if everyone's budget is a certain dollar amount and your competitors are blowing their budget by 2 p.m. and you can jump in and buy that traffic at a discount, just like you buy a house at a discount, that's where you could go in and you can compete in the Dallas, Texas, and you can still get leads at a reasonable price. Because that's where I see a lot of people make a mistake with PPC. They don't understand it, or they don't have a management company that understands it. And then they ultimately spend money. They're getting clicks. They're not getting conversions, which will be the next topic we'll get into. And then that's where they fail, because they're spending this money. They don't understand how to optimize it. And the next thing, what's they're seeing a charge on their credit card every day for $500. And they're like, man, this is getting expensive. I don't know if this is worth it. So that's actually bringing me to another important thing where I see a lot of people making mistakes. And I want you to confirm or correct me here, because I always like to have others tell me if I'm right or wrong. In my opinion, if you're doing any online marketing, it doesn't have to just be PPC. If your website doesn't convert at least 10%, you're at extreme disadvantage, especially with PPC, because you're paying per click. What do you think about that with a conversion rate on the website, not the sales?
Absolutely. You have to have a highly converting page. Like you said, if it's converting under 10%, it's going to be tough, because you're going to be spending a lot and your lead conversion cost is going to be high and you're going to be unhappy with it. So you probably won't continue it. But yeah, that's part of the process, is having a highly effective and efficient page when it comes to conversion. And so that's another thing that I do for my clients. And I recently just put out a video saying, so the past like 5 to 6 years I've used Carrot, and I've been through a transition of like several different websites over the last 8 years. I started off with a WordPress website, and there's nothing wrong with it. They work fine. You have to have a fast load speed, and obviously you have to have it set up into a certain way where it flows and converts. You don't want your pages too long. So that's another mistake I see with a lot of people. They'll implement like a brand new page. They're excited about it. They're like, there's no way that this isn't going to convert, because I've been there. I've gone through it. I spent like $15,000 on an SEO course, and it made my page all pretty, credible, all this stuff. And then I was so excited to go launch it into my PPC campaign, and my conversion rates fell. And I was like, what the hell is going on here?
I know how that feels.
So yeah, it comes down to a certain structure and way to set up the pages too. I keep them short and to the point. I also add in a little bit of branding and then some credibility and some reviews.
Sure, that helped. Are you still using Carrot, or are you using a different page now?
I am right now.
Are you building out a specific page on Carrot? You're not sending them to a homepage, or what is your strategy?
So what I do for the same thing for my clients is I create an extension off of like your homepage that you already have. And it's just an offer page. And I just take parts of whatever you already have going on, and then I'll edit stuff and recreate and make it how I know is going going to work well. That's the good thing about Carrot. A lot of people have certain things to say about certain platforms, but Carrot's one of the few platforms where you can be a non-coder, designer, techie type person, and you can get yourself a website up and running and be able to edit it and do these things without having to mess with the code. So that's the biggest upside, I think, to Carrot. You can get it up in a day. And there's a lot of investor platforms going on right now. I'm not going to go test like every single programs platforms out there, because I know at the end of the day, basically it needs to just be fast and it needs to convert and it needs to look good. If it checks off those boxes for me, at some point I think that I'll want to implement more of Carrot. Comes with a monthly fee, and so I don't like always having to dish that on to my clients. I'd like a platform where I can easily put together the website and not have them carry an on-carrying fee. But at the end of the day, it's just like business cost that kind of comes in with it. If you're in wholesaling, buying real estate, it's minimal cost if you're actually closing deals. So
it's pennies compared to dollars. So before we close the loop on the website page, I'm always trying to incentivize more people to watch this podcast on YouTube. We get a lot of downloads on Spotify, but YouTube has been a little bit harder for the views just because YouTube, I think, is more saturated. So I'm going to actually share my screen real quick with you. And I want you to, just for all the people on YouTube here, this is a treat for you. And we've been getting more views on YouTube recently, which is good, which means it's working, but I want to keep growing it. So I'm actually going to pull up my PPC page, and I want you to just honestly give me your opinion on it. And this is not a Carrot site, by the way. So this is my PPC page. Obviously, we're on a desktop right now, so it looks better on mobile. This is a WordPress site. I had somebody build this for me. So this is what we're sending the traffic to. All right. So I'm going to just show you here. Clearly, it states where we're buying houses. There's a form up here. This is above the fold on mobile, so you would see this before scrolling. Telephone number, you have to hover over. Local number. Here's a little imagery. Another way you can opt in. You could click this and that will drive you to my offer page.
Okay.
The video of me inside of a house bought. Here's a embedded Google review here. So these are actual reviews. And then here's a little bit of information about what you could do in terms of selling your house to us or to other people. The video's there again. So it's fairly straightforward. And then there's basically four pages. There's about our team. There's me, my partner. And then there's core values. This is hodgepodge. A lot of sellers don't really give a shit, quite frankly. This is our best review we've ever gotten from a seller. This is actually from PPC, ironically. And then a contact page. So obviously, this ain't a Rolls Royce. However, I think this site, and based on my conversion rate, about 9.8%, it gets the job done. What do you think about this site, in your honest opinion? You could roast me right now. I promise I won't be offended. I'm from New York.
No, honestly, it looks good. It's straight and to the point. It doesn't need to be a Rolls Royce. That's the thing about PPC. The only things I would change, if you want me to critique it. So I'm bigger into opt-ins than I am call to action buttons. And so for me, like the opt-in up the top, I like it. That's how I would do it too. I've limited mine to asking for property address and phone number only up front, because for me, it feels like the less I ask, but the more required information I get, that's all I need. Like, I don't need the email address. So if I get the phone number and the address, I'm good with it. Then I send them to a step two form anyways, where probably about 75 to 85% of the time, they'll end up filling out the step two form. If it's a legit from a PPC, a Google ad search campaign, I would probably like having a call to action in the middle of the page. That's not bad. I would probably maybe replace one of the call to actions towards the bottom. If you keep scrolling down, like maybe that one, I would make a form, or that one I'd make a form rather than another call to action right here to get my cash offer. Yeah. Just so you can just opt them in without going to another page. I never like anyone going to another page. The reason why I don't is because something could happen with their internet. I don't know what it is, a browser. It just leaves room for error. So I don't like any room for error. So matter of fact, I get rid of, and this might be controversy too, I get rid of my top toolbar completely. There's no home, about us, reviews, contact us. I don't let them go to any other page. I force them into filling out the form on my website pretty much. And so I don't even put my phone number on the page. I can have them call me through Google Call Ads. And so I can do that with the call extension number. That will trigger a call that will come directly to my phone and say Google PPC call. And so that's why I prefer to get calls, and I can track it better. So that would just be really the only tweaks I see. It's good. You have testimonials. That's another thing about a lot of these online page platforms that are generic. I'm not going to name drop, but you know what I'm talking about. Everyone's running the same looking page.
Yeah.
And it's just not a good look. Like, you want to stand out to a certain extent. Like, you don't have to be branded for people to fill out a form on your website, but you need to be somewhat credible to give them some comfort and ease of mind that say, hey, this guy might be a good guy to help me with my problem. Because most of the time, the people that are coming to fill out the form on our website, they have an issue going on, they're motivated, and they need to sell fast. So ideally, that's who we're looking for. And you got to have some sort of credibility established. So 100%. I think it looks good, man. I would only just make a few tweaks. And that's really it.
That makes sense. I appreciate that feedback. And all the YouTube listeners, look at that. You got that extra value add. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, go watch the YouTube version. You can see what we just talked about, right? Takeaway I'm getting from your advice before we transition to the next phase here is opt-in page, two options for the customer. Fill out a form or bounce. You don't want them dancing around a website because that, like you said, is where the errors come in and people leave. And then that potential conversion just got squandered because they got distracted.
And then they forgot they had your page open. You know exactly. What I mean? Like, a lot of activity, believe it or not, comes from cell phones. So if you do, if you look at the data in Google Ads, majority is going to come from cellular device. A good portion will come from CPU. And then a small percentage will come from tablet. And I've gotten to the point where I focus all my ad spend on cell phone and computer only based on like data I was looking at. It wasn't converting as well. That's another thing I like to do is I like to focus the money I'm spending in the right places. And so if I see something not converting or if it's converting better in some other area, I'm going to try and max out that area before I'm like running myself thin. You know what I mean? So
100%. That makes a ton of sense. Now we're on to the topic that people get nervous about, and it's budget.
All right.
Let's start.
That's
here.
A big topic. That's a big topic because that's one of the questions I get asked.
You get asked this every day, I bet.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm just going to make up an example, right? And let's see how that goes. And this is not true, by the way. I'm going to do PPC marketing in St. Louis, Missouri. All right. Not the cheapest, but not the most expensive. Pretty big city. I have a budget of $4,000 a month for ad spend only, excluding any management fees. Is that a fair budget to have to get results over 4 to 6 months? Or do you think 4K is not going to cut the mustard anymore in a local market in the Midwest?
Do you mean per month?
For $1,000 a week. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So anytime I talk to someone about budget, I tell them that you need to be able to spend $3,000 to $4,000 a month, regardless, meaning like if you're in a smaller market, you may not reach that threshold where you can even spend that much. Like I have a client that's in a very small market in Alabama. Some months he only spends a couple $1,000s, but he's able to make that a supplemental lead source and it works great for him. He's a flipper, so he makes a lot of money on some of his deals. And so it's paid for his own advertising for years. So there's ways you can manage it correctly. But I tell that to anyone that's going to get started in PPC, because you have to be able to withstand that for several months, right? Like you can't just say, hey, I'm going to do $4,000 in this market and see what comes from that. You have to be able to say, like, you need 15, 20K over a 6 month period. And you say, I'm allocating this much money over 6 months and I'm going to break it up into $4,000 a month. And that's how you really make it work. Like you can't just put a pile of money into it and just give it 1 month because it's not sustainable, especially for people just getting started with it. That's why I always tell people, regardless if you need to, if I see in a market that it might only be like a $1,500 ad spend a month, I might tell them they still need $3,000 a month. You know what I mean? Because I want to set my clients and people I work with PPC up for success. And so that's why I like preach, create the foundation with PPC and then you branch it off and scale it from there.
Exactly. So. And on top of that, Google has a learning phase too. So like, in the beginning, learning the algorithm.
So that's a good point. So a lot of people and even like new clients and stuff, they'll ask me, why is it starting slow? And things like that. And honestly, before I was doing it, strategies have changed. So Google's kind of pushed things to the more automated strategies. And I've always been reluctant up until the past couple of years to move to those because I had so much control over the manual campaigns, like the manual cost per click. And you could do like an enhanced conversion. And that's what I would use for the longest time. And it worked great because I could literally have so much control over it, but it would often overspend your money right off the bat. It would just be like letting it go. But now with like the automated strategies, like you said, it goes through a learning phase where it's 6 or 7 days. And oftentimes it starts really slow. And that's really beneficial to the advertiser because what it's doing ultimately is it's introducing you into the marketplace and testing bids, your keywords into different auctions and seeing how it plays into it. If it gets a high click, it's going to register that and be like, whoa, like it might back off a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's testing the waters per se, but that's actually beneficial for new advertisers because because it doesn't blow their budget right off the bat. Like, you could get a couple leads in the learning phase as it's going. And some of my new clients, they've seen that too, is they've gotten several leads just coming, depending on market size. That's another thing. If you're in a bigger market, it'll start to learn a little bit faster. You have more volume and data you can give to it. There's more auctions, more searches. The more volume you have, the faster it's going to start learning. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. All right. So yeah. We talked about St. Louis at $4,000 a month. What if someone lives in Seattle and the prices are triple? Is there a tier? If you're in a market where houses are worth 500 plus, does that automatically mean you have to just generally have more cash in reserves to spend on the ads? Or can you still make it in Seattle with a 4K a month budget?
Personally, I feel like I could get into any market and I could spend a few $1,000s a month and I'll still get the results that I need, depending on competition. So it can be a little bit tricky, but for the most part, in majority of markets, like, I haven't worked in every single market, so I'm still getting experience in certain markets. So I'm learning more too. Like, a market like Charleston, South Carolina, is very small and it's expensive, right? Yes. It's on the water. And so it's a unique market because you have to bid more, but I can still manage the cost to be affordable and manageable based on the competition. So as long as you have all these other things lined up and you can still convert at a good rate, there's no reason that you can't scale and break into any market, because you're still going to be trending. You'll be really surprised on some of these cities that you can check out the potential, like, first page bid, first position bid, and things like that. Prior to, I could pull up any city right now and I could look at potentially for this keyword term how much the top bid is based on competition.
Oh yeah, like using like an SEMrush or something, like some sort of an external tool like that.
Well, you can do it in Google. If you pull your campaign up right now, I can show you it.
Sure, let's do it. This is a real treat for the listeners, man.
Yeah, let's
look at this. Doug to the rescue. Holy smokes. All right, so here's
So this is a killer way to check out different markets and go to tools and settings at the top.
You got it, sir.
And then go to keyword planner on the far left and then get search volume and forecast right there in the middle. And so just write sell my house fast. Then right where you see United States, select what's the market, Seattle.
I'm just going to do King County because that's Seattle's county.
Okay. And then delete United States off there. That's wild. That's extremely low.
So I might be doing PPC in Seattle. I'm moving to Seattle in 3 weeks.
This is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. There's so much opportunity in PPC that people think local advertising has to be so expensive. Like, prices are expensive in Seattle, housing prices, but you're talking about sell my house fast. So what I look at when I look at this, and this is how I base it, where's all my volume going to come from? It shows you the average monthly searches right here, 260. That's a good solid amount for on a regular basis. If you think about it, like, you get a few searches a day just from the exact search. So any variation off of sell my house fast Seattle, that doesn't count in this monthly average. And you're looking at a top page bid of $46, which is absolutely ridiculous. Here in Dallas Fort Worth, that bid for me is like 130, and I'm still managing. And it's saying that you might pay, sometimes I get a click for $150. I got one yesterday for $200 and it didn't convert. You know what I'm saying? That's why some people get pushed out of it. And they're like, this isn't working. It's not right. But most of the time, I have a max bid on mine that kind of caps that, but I'm testing some new stuff. So a high bid came in yesterday and I'm just going to let it run for a month. But that's the thing about me, is I'm always testing stuff. It's hard for me to have something and just let it run and never change it, try to optimize. And also type in we buy houses. That's another really popular term in most markets. So you can add.
Oh, I see. You can add. I'm just going to do where I'm currently located in Washoe County. Dude, I didn't even know this existed, Doug. You are a G for this.
Yeah, this is a game changer. So anytime I get a new client, I run it through this to get the idea of the search volume.
You want me to do we buy houses?
Yeah, add it on the top right. You can add a keyword.
Oh, here we go. Dude, this is all killer, no filler, listeners.
And so you can also change next to the date. So I always usually look last 12 months of what to expect over the average span per month, rather than just look back at one. Some of those things can spike from just competition.
Man, yeah, based on this, Reno, Nevada, where I'm currently living, this is a pretty good PPC market.
Which one's this? Washoe County. There's just not a lot of searches.
You'll
find when there's low search volume, you'll find that you may struggle with some of the automated campaigns. Like, one of my core strategies that I run with smaller markets can be tricky just from the volume alone. You have to be able to feed data or Google's algorithm with a certain amount of data for it to like really use the automated strategies appropriately. That's one thing that people run into. They're like, why isn't my not getting much traction? And some of it depends on the volume alone. You know what I mean? Some of it, you just have so much capacity, you just can't get any more out of it.
Exactly. Exactly. It's funny you said that because I was looking. Seattle had high search volume and low competition, low clicks. Reno had the same thing, except for the search volume was like a fraction of that. Obviously, right. King County is massive, but that would be an opportunity. If anyone wants to do PPC in Seattle, I would probably advise that's a reasonable idea because you have the best of both worlds there. And I did San Diego while you were chatting. San Diego has high search volume, high clicks.
But even in San Diego, you can manage that appropriately because you can manage that certain ways to where you're not overspending on certain bids if you don't need to. Like if all your other keywords that have a good amount of volume fall under 150 and you have one keyword that's like over 200 and you don't want to risk spending $200 a click, then either don't run that keyword or you can put like max bids. So you have to really get into the weeds a little bit to maintain some of that control. Because in some of these Dallas-Fort Worth, San Diego, if you just leave it wide open, it can run. And like I said, I got a click yesterday for, I think it was like $232 and it didn't convert, but it's starting a new campaign. So I just let it run, right? That's the great thing about PPC is it's hard for people to get into. So if you can get into it, you're going to have an edge on the market. You know what I mean? If you can figure out a way to find your momentum into the space, you don't have to worry about it getting flooded because it's not easy, regardless of what some people say. It's easy to do if we show you how to do it. If someone shows you what to do and tells you the keywords to run and how to set it up, why would it not be easy? And that kind of leads me into, I think you wanted to touch on the nationwide versus local, right? Because that's a big topic recently is the whole nationwide versus local when it comes to PPC.
What's your opinion on that, honestly? It makes sense from a high level perspective. Google has way more of a leash to run around, but you're going to be getting leads and no idea where the hell it is.
So obviously positive and negatives to both strategies. If you go nationwide, you have a whole handful of things that you don't deal with local. With nationwide, dispositions is a lot harder. You're going to do a lot more work for one deal per se. And regardless of what everyone's saying right now is that they're getting signed 1 in 10 or 1 in 15 contracts, what they're leaving out, and it's really important because it's setting expectations wrong, is how many contracts are they having to cancel? And that's what really is a big thing because I've been part of acquisition processes and I've seen teams that do nationwide. I can't tell you how many contracts were canceled. It was unbelievable. It's so easy to lock up the deals nationwide because you have maybe one other person that you're up against, especially when you're in these markets that are not very competitive.
You got to novate these things. You got to put them on the MLS.
You basically do. At the end of the day, you have to really utilize the local buyers rather than just investor buyers in the area, I think. And that's probably a game changer for a lot of people to do nationwide is if you're able to do that, that's where you're going to close more of the deals. That's where you're going to have a lot of contracts where you're not canceling and things like that. You still will because there just may not be buyers in certain markets, but like the market dictates the value of anything. And if you actually break down what your cost per lead was for getting the deal, it'd probably be a little bit lower than locally.
Exactly.
But I haven't canceled a contract in 7 years. You know what I mean? Every deal I sign, I'm closing on. If I get a contract signed, the disposition is no brainer.
It's a text message.
Literally like this last deal I had, it was absolutely insane how swarmed got. I put the post on Facebook and my inbox just blew up. It was in a great location. It was in Euless, Texas, right by the airport. And so like lots of people wanted to use it as an Airbnb. I ended up selling it for $15,000 over asking sight unseen. So that just shows the difference. Like you're not going to get that doing nationwide. And I'm okay with spending a little bit more per lead. Like at the end of the day, I know I'm spending less than majority of the competition in my market. And so I can keep that. I'm averaging in Dallas-Fort Worth, I'm getting leads anywhere from $200 to $300 on average. So most of my competition is probably $400 and up. Like some of the big dogs are probably spending $400, $500 per lead. So yeah, that's how I've been able to maintain like maneuvering through this. And to be honest, my ads show more than anyone else here in Dallas-Fort Worth. So I'm able to strategically put myself at the top to where when I feel like someone's starting to show their ads more than me, I'll just turn up my budget. So ultimately, I feel like here in Dallas-Fort Worth, I may not be spending the most, but I can almost guarantee that I probably have the most efficient PPC running.
Exactly. And that's a tough market to do it in. So if you can do it there, you can basically do it anywhere, which is awesome.
And that's why I was trying to say to you, I feel like I could break into any market if I wanted to.
Dude, if you could do it in Dallas, do it anywhere. It's not the most expensive market, but it's one of the most competitive. But anyway, for sure. As we start to wrap the show up here, you have two things that you offer. I know you have a management department where you'll manage ads on people's behalf. Generally, that's hands-off. They get the leads. And then I'd also like you to talk about the new thing that you just launched where you're actually going to teach people how to catch the fish themselves so they can manage the campaigns so then they can have very effective campaigns like you.
Yeah, man. So I've been actually doing the management for clients long over 5 years now. So it's not anything new to me. But really, I put it on the side as a back burner. When I run into someone that's looking for help, I offer it. And that's how I've ran things. So now I'm pushing my PPC out a little bit more. And I'm doing this because of kind of the stigma and all this stuff we've seen in the whole PPC space. Agencies are overpromising, under-delivering, and overcharging for their monthly retainers, their startup fees, and all this stuff. And if you see me on Instagram, I'm a big proponent of taking that other angle because I believe it doesn't need to be that expensive. I've done this for my own business, and it needs to be more manageable, and it can be without having to charge $2,000 a month. So for me, I've always gotten passion out of helping other investors, the people's person for PPC. I'm in the business. I'm doing it myself. I understand the ups and downs with the business. So that's why I try to keep the management manageable for other investors. I've been doing that for a long time now, and I have a handful of people that have worked with me for multiple years still to this day. That's always something that I'm offering just because it works better for other people. It's hands off, and then I take care of everything from start to finish. And then of course, like you mentioned, so I got this new program that I'm launching. It's in like announcement phase right now, and I'm just gaining interest. I have a handful of people that are interested so far, which is cool. Basically, it's going to be like a hybrid coaching PPC program with other stuff involved. It's not just going to be focused around getting your PPC started. It's also going to have how to implement it into your business and really create like the foundation for your business, how to handle like inbound motivated seller leads, talking to them better, setting up inbound processes for when you do get those leads and know how to efficiently manage those correctly. Because with PPC, if you don't jump on them quick, they're gone sometimes. Just the whole process, like how to implement it into your business. And one thing I've learned now is novation. So anyone that's part of the program is going to learn anything that I learned along my journey too. So it's like a way for people to kind of create more of a foundation and really scale their business out from PPC. And this is going to be a hands-on learning. So they'll be able to learn how to actually create their own campaign. And I'll be point of contact, like a pretty much a consultant for 12 months and be a reference for any questions they have. So I'm excited for it because it's like something that I've been thinking about, and now I'm just ready to dive into it. I'm just happy to be able to help people in this way and kind of take that angle. So
no, that's awesome, man. Especially too, that you got two really good things going for it. Well, you got three good things. And you got the fact that you've been doing this for a long time, the fact that you still do this and you're still wholesaling houses, and the fact that you're doing this in Dallas, which is a great way to say you might be in a competitive market. So am I. So I know exactly how to help you. So you have the track record that proves that you actually know how to do this in a very tough market. So if people wanted to reach out to you about any of your programs, what is the best way for them to get in touch with you on social media?
Hit me up at Easy Lead. So that's my Instagram page. I do all my PPC on. I'm putting out videos and constant content. You can DM me on there. So it's EAZYLEAD, all one word.
Easy Lead.
You can DM me on there if you're interested. Have any questions? I'm happy to help. Happy to get on a call and just talk about what you got going on and see if PPC is right for you.
All right, bonus content. What is the juiciest deal you've ever done for PPC?
The most I've made in a month from PPC is 98,000. It's been great for me. I don't know if in my business where I would be if I didn't have my PPC. Of course, I would probably find another way, a marketing strategy to make work, but at the end of the day, PPC has been like my backbone that I've been able to depend on.
That's amazing, dude. That's so incredible. And that's the power of learning skills. I always tell people, if you want to make more money, you got to increase your skill set. If you can learn digital marketing, especially PPC, I call it a meal ticket for life. You'll never be hungry.
Dude, that's so true. That's so true. I just feel grateful that I had learned that skill because really I could do it in any business if I wanted to. Sky's the limit. So
Sky's the limit. You're 100%. Awesome. Doug, thanks so much. This was the best PPC interview I've ever done in terms of getting into weeds. So I appreciate you, my friend. Check him out on Instagram. And Doug, I hope you have a great rest of your afternoon. And I'm sure we'll talk soon, my friend.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you.